Well, first of all, dear friends, I am very thankful that I am here today, and I am I have the privilege of talking with the Lord's people. It's quite a privilege. It's something. It's something that I don't know whether we appreciate this to the full or not. It's something when we think that the word that we're to speak is the word of God. It's God's word. It's the truth and the plan is God's plan. And if any time that we speak and minister one to the other, it would have to be in harmony with the word of God concerning the one that was receiving. Because we know, and even in our Lord's perfection, he realized that unless the Lord blessed the words that he spoke and had blessed the heart and the mind that was to receive it, that they wouldn't receive. And every man spake like he spake. But yet, he thanked the Heavenly Father for those that God has given him. And he realized that no man cometh to the Lord except the Father himself drawing. And now, when you think of discipleship and walking in the Master's footsteps, we know that there was only one purpose in God calling any one of us during this gospel age, and that is that we might be an acceptable sacrifice, that we might become heirs of God and join heirs with Jesus Christ. There's one thing that I did fail to do when I started to talk here, and that is to bring you the love of your brethren in Riverside. They wanted to be remembered, and I said that I would bring their love to you. They're getting up in years now, many of them. And there's some wonderful, dear souls there, and we enjoyed our fellowship with them there very much this morning. I think of this scripture, and I think we'll use this as our basis to start with. It's found in Luke, the 14th chapter, in the 33rd verse. Whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. That's quite an order, isn't it, dear friend? I thought of when we were singing about, here let me walk with thee, to walk with our God and our dear Lord and Savior in his ways, they become empty words. It must be from the heart. We want to walk. We want to walk in newness of life. We want to fulfill that covenant we've made by sacrifice. And we know alone we cannot do it. We know we need the help of the dear Lord to help us, to guide us. So we need the operation of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, to enable us to walk. We should walk. We know of ourselves, we can do nothing. The question of what is meant by forsaking all is seldom given a too literal interpretation by those who have something to forsake. On the contrary, most of the Lord's professed disciples seem to act as though the statement raised that he that giveth not all that he can get cannot be my disciple. For the getting more than the forsaking seems to be the aim of life with many as with the world. We know that a lot of times we say, well, they're going to extremes. We don't want to be a doormat. We're going to justify some particular course we're going to take. But we realize that there are many things that the Lord does permit us to come in, and we have to learn to take orders and instruction. We have to remain in that same heart condition that we were in when God called us. And what was it? An honesty of heart. We want to be teachable. I think of when the most of us first got the truth and coming into the truth, we were so wrapped up in learning about the Lord's Word, and we appreciated when we'd sit into a meeting and hear the various ones making comments upon the Lord's Word. We knew that many of them were not learned people. Some of them not very highly educated. Some of them used some of the, grammar that, we know that they just didn't use proper grammar. But yet, we see the spirit that they manifested, and we see that every time they opened their mouth, they were saying something that appealed and that thrilled us. And we were so busy learning that we didn't find very much fault with one another at that time. Oh, we'd look at them and say, I see why God called them. I can see why God has called them out of darkness and barbarous life, because they're wonderful people. But the first thing we thought of, well, I wonder just how... I don't believe that I could ever make that vow and fulfill that covenant that they say that they're going to. Maybe it isn't for me. Didn't you have those feelings at first? You could see how wonderful the brethren were, but you thought, well, how will I ever get the knowledge that would be necessary for me to make my confirmation sure? Because we knew our undone condition, we knew their imperfection, we knew, well, we lacked so many things. But we know as we grow in grace and knowledge, the way should become sweeter and sweeter. And the brethren should become nearer and dearer to us. And I often think, as I just mentioned this morning, when you hear our brethren get up and pray, how they pray for all the brethren, wherever they might be. And it made me think, too, that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And I know at one time I thought, well, now how could my prayers affect someone else? But you know, the thought is, too, that those that make their calling election sure, there won't be one of them that'll make it that hasn't been interested in their fellow man and their brethren. And that's why we're all called in one hope for calling. We're all interested in one another. We're so thrilled when we see one growing in grace and in knowledge, when we see that the Lord's Word is affecting their lives, and we see them walking in newness of life. And we're thrilled because we see that they're God's workmanship, created Christ Jesus. And then we're admonished to comfort and to encourage one another on this way, which I'm sure that we all try to do that very thing. Now I'd like to turn to the 14th chapter of Luke and read from the 25th to the 35th verses inclusive. Speaking of the Lord, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father, oh boy, that's strong words, isn't it? Hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. Well, we know that means love less. We know that we're all Bible students. We know that that you wouldn't think love your mother and father less than you did before you made the covenant. But it means that the kingdom comes first. The Lord comes first. And I was thinking along this line, too, and I know you have many times. You know, sometimes when you talk with people and talk about the truth and about the kingdom, they say, well, I don't know. I think I'd like to be right here upon the earth because I think of my family. I think of my children. I think of my loved ones. I would like to be right here. Well, we can understand anyone feeling that way. But if they get the heavenly vision, and we know that God knew the end from the beginning, and we know that God had made a plan that he would call 144,000 that would be members of that divine family, and for the purpose of blessing all the families of the earth, that they'll finally be God's people and he'll be their God. And when he's permitted us to have these natural family ties now, and we know what a wonderful thing it is when we can think of our natural brothers, our natural sisters, our mother and our dad. We know that it's a sweet thing that to see a close-knitted family. And God has permitted us to experience, many of us, to experience this, so we can appreciate what His family is going to be like. When after the church has brought the whole human family into back into relationship with God, and that that God will be their God and they shall be His people, won't that be a wonderful thing? Because they couldn't love any more than what they have loved their natural children. But won't that be wonderful when they can love their neighbor's children in the next day just like they love their own? Because they won't love their own or those that's near and dear to them less, but they'll be bringing in all the various ones. And what a wonderful thing that'll be when we'll be living for one another's happiness and trying to be a blessing one to the other. So, and whosoever doth not bear his... Wait. Yes, his own life. That's right. The 27th verse. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, seeth not down first and turneth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold, it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador, is what it really means, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And I like this thing here because we know how true it is. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherein shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What does it mean? Well, what is the Lord saying here? Well, you know, those that have once tasted the Word of God and the powers to be, they turn back. The world don't want them. They miss it. They can't enjoy themselves, or they can't have fellowship with the world, and they certainly can't with the Lord. So they've just lost what value they have. Because they're miserable when they try to go along with the world, and then the world just don't like their attitude at all. So they'd be misfits, either in the world or in the Lord. So we think, too, of one here. Here the Master shows that he did not deceive any into becoming his followers. Now, the reason we brought this up, we often say, during this time, that what one does when they make a vow or a consecration, they just consecrate and do the Lord's will. Well, that's true. They do. But when our Lord came to John at Jordan, did he just say, Lord, I come to do thy will, O my God? No, he said, as in the volume of the book it's written to be, to do thy will, O my God. He knew from his knowledge of the volume that was written in the books that he had to be a sacrifice. He knew that his life had been transferred down here for that purpose of laying it down in consecration to do God's will. We also realize that he was that lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and God knew the end from the beginning. So we realize this, that our Lord didn't just say, well, I'm going to consecrate to do the Heavenly Father's will, but what happened? He went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights to study, see what, how he used to lay that life down. And we realize this, that in going in there, he was instructed in the law, He knew all about the tabernacle. He could see that Moses was the type or a picture of his Heavenly Father. He knew that Aaron was a picture of the high priest. He knew that he fit in there. And he could see that the animal that was to be slain, the bullock, represented his humanity. So he knew that it had to be a sacrificial walk. And he knew that he'd have to lay down his life for the world. So to me, when we say that we come, and we know that those that God is calling now, He's calling for one purpose only. We know that no one is called to the great company class. But I think of the statement that our Lord made. He said that when He was called, He said, I was called as Aaron was. That no man takes this honor upon himself. Our Lord Himself didn't do that. But we know that when each one of us is called, we're called by our Heavenly Father. And in calling us, to those that have been accepted, we also realize that there's no condemnation in those that's accepted. And the only purpose of us being called to make it a consecration by sacrifice is that we might lay our lives down, that we might learn to walk in newness of life and to walk in the Master's footsteps. I have something, dear friends, maybe you've got to see the same program. On TV here several weeks ago, there was a little fella, 8 years of age, fell, hit his head and caused brain damage. Now, this is a true story, a true happening. The little fella couldn't walk at all. And they'd had many doctors in that didn't seem to know just what they could do. Well, they operated, and it showed the picture of the little fella. Every time that anyone would say anything to him, you'd see his face light up. He could understand. But he couldn't move a muscle. So they finally got a psychiatrist in and wanted to know if he had any suggestions. Oh, he said, I'd like to experiment. I'd like to try something. Because you can see that he has intelligence. He knows everything that we say to him. But he just couldn't talk well. And he just lay there motionless. So he says, I'm going to need some volunteers. Well, he didn't have any trouble getting volunteers, because all that was near and dear to him, the other members of the family, and then some of the other relatives and neighbors, all donated their time that they would come in and work with him. What'd they do? Lay him down on his back first, then they'd start working his hands. Like this. And he could see those hands work. The psychiatrist figured that this was telegraphed to the brain. And they removed just a portion of his brain. But what was there was in good shape. So they did that, and they went on for months and months and months. And then they would want to get on one limb, one on the other, and start to work in his limbs. That went on for quite a while. Well, he finally got to where he could use those members. And what was the next step? Well, he said, now, don't try to get him to walk. You let me make the decision. Let me say when I want him to walk. Because we don't want him to try to do anything here before he's ready. Because if he fall again, maybe it will destroy everything that we have been doing. But you wait till I tell you. So then finally, they said, now what we want you to do is to learn to crawl and creep. And his dear mother would get down on the floor and crawl all around and playing with him, trying to get him, take him right back to, like he was an infant. And he had to learn to creep and to crawl. And when he got to doing that, he just enjoyed it very much, because he's moving now. He's using his members. Finally, the day came that the psychiatrist says, now we want him to pull himself up and stand on his 2 feet. But don't let him take a step. You make him just pull up. and get down and pull up and learn to stand on his two feet, because he's going to have to learn to get his balance. And so that went on for quite a while. So finally the day came when the psychiatrist went in and he said to this little fellow, "Do you want to walk?" Oh, he says, "Yes, I do want to walk. I want to walk." Well, he says, "You shall. I don't want you to try too much. Just take a few steps at first." Got him taking a few steps. And the last, it showed the little fellow going into a meeting with his dad and was able to tell how he was brought back to the point of where he could walk and handle himself. Well, made me think of how our Lord, and how sometimes when you and I have had the opportunity to witness to someone, and they don't start taking the steps quite as fast as we like them taking sometimes. When we get discouraged, we think, "Well, oh my, with all this your work and everything, it's just all lost." Because they don't want it to walk in the Lord's footsteps. Sometimes we get impatient. But you know, we have to wait upon the Lord, don't we? When we have the opportunity of witness, we tell of the Lord and Jesus. We know love is inspired. It's only when they learn something about our Heavenly Father, our God, that they get the heavenly view. And to keep that in mind, then they want to walk with the Lord. They see what would be accomplished. And that if they're successful in learning to walk, that they have to count the cost first. They want to, or they're willing to go through all those exercises and to get the things that would fit them to walk in the Master's footsteps. I thought it was a good illustration because we know that the thing that we have to want to do it ourselves. If we got someone to say, "All right, now all you have to do is come on up and you symbolize your consecration. Now, I think you're ready now." We don't know when they're ready. We don't know when they're ready. And if they did it for us, it wouldn't be acceptable to the Father anyhow. It has to be our Heavenly Father to invite them to take the step. I'd like to call your attention, too, to this one in the 9th chapter, in the 62nd verse of Luke. And it says, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." All right, supposing that we did get one to say, "All right, I'm going to symbolize because I know that you think I should," and everything and so forth. And then afterwards it might be an awful trial, that person to think, "Well, I wonder if I was called. Now, did I do it because the Heavenly Father had given me this invitation, or do you think it was just because Tom Bay asked me to do it?" It made me think of one that I met at the Vancouver's here several years ago, and it's on the day that they have baptismal service. And he came to me and said, "You know, I've thought of symbolizing the consecration, making a consecration, symbolizing it, but you know, I've got a lot of things undone that I'm going to have to take care of before I do this." Well, I said, "The Lord knows that too." He said, "Well, now, the Fillmore Convention will be coming up just in a few weeks now. Maybe I'll get things taken care of by that time." So when we got to Fillmore, I was there, and I said, "Did you get everything all straightened out?" He said, "No," he said, "I'm not any nearer straightened out now than I was when I seen you up there at Vancouver. But you know, I'm going to take the step, because I'm going to let the Lord help me. Because I can't straighten out these things myself." Well, I thought, well, yes, the Lord had spoken to him then. Because when the little fellow was laying there, couldn't move a muscle, it made me think of our condition of heart. When God first called us, we felt we weren't able to fulfill that covenant. Or who am I to take this share? I can see why they take steps, but it isn't for me. Now, that's the first feeling we had, because we knew that we were affected by the fall. We knew ourselves real well. We knew that we had many faults, many failings. We knew that we had weaknesses. But God knew that too when he called each one of them. And he knew that those that he was going to call would be from the imperfect flesh. And he knew that when we realize that, then he can do something for us. It's souls that are self-righteous. Just like the Lord said, he didn't come to those that was well, but to those that were sick. He came to the sinners, not those that was righteous. And so it was with us. We realize we're under unconditional, and we realize that we're unable to walk. But yet, when we had fellowship with our brethren, went to our studies, had our testimony meetings, got the encouragement from the brethren, and had the Holy Spirit of God working in our behalf, enlightening our mind to the Word of God, and how God does that so beautifully with our brethren. The thought will come up like the other night. We had a young lady that was there at our house that we'd been talking truth to quite a while, and so we're talking about the rest of God. And we showed how one that entered into God's rest is because they had faith. But God's word would not return unto him void, but accomplish wherein he sends it. I said, then we get the picture that God had this all planned before the foundation of the world, that there'd be 144,000, the heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so, after our Lord set everything in motion, our Heavenly Father set everything in motion, then he sat back and he could rest, because he knew that his will would be accomplished. And so with us, when we get the picture, and we have faith in the accomplishment of God's will in us and in the church, and that everything will work together for good to those that have been called according to his purpose, and so forth, then, I said, we can enter into that same rest. So I said, that's the reason we're not concerned about what we see happening now, because we know that God has permitted the reign of sin and death, that it's only going to be the kingdom that's going to right the wrong, and so forth. I said, you know, I never got that before in my life. I never thought of it like that. Well, then it made me think. There was one that had the heart and was ready to get it. Because I know that that's been stated like that many times before to her. It makes me think, too, as I mentioned before, when our Lord, with the ability he had, and when he asked Peter, who do they say that I am? Oh, well, they think you're this brother or that brother, thus and so and so. Now, our Lord didn't say, well, Peter, I don't understand why you didn't get this long before death. Because after all, I made it very clear who I was, the eyes of Messiah, and that I was the Son of God. But he didn't say that, did he? No. He says, Peter, who do you say that I am? He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, he says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father, the Holy Spirit. And so that's the way we realized when this one caught the thought about entering into God's rest, it was because the Holy Spirit has illuminated her mind to where she could catch it and see it, because it had been stated many times. And so those are the things that I was thinking about in counting the cost. Well, what is the cost? How can we deny ourselves and pick up the cross and follow him? What does it mean to deny ourselves? Well, we know that we have many aims, hopes, and ambitions when we first come into the truth. And we realize that those things will have to be set aside. Not that we don't provide things decent honest for our family. We know that we're told that we should. But the kingdom comes first. And seeking to do the Lord's will comes first. And we realize that if we are successful in carrying out this covenant of sacrifice, how much more we're going to do for the poor, groaning creation and for everyone concerned. So we realize then that this covenant we've made, we couldn't keep alone. But we need the Lord, the Lord's help. And it pleases him when we pray that he might grant us a larger portion, his Spirit. Then I thought of the volunteers that went in to help this little fellow as being the friends, and how they labor, Did you ever attend a meeting where you knew that there was one in that meeting that knew very little about the Lord's Word, and see how the pen will shoot leading questions out to bring out certain thoughts, and you see them all lined up to try to bring out the thought and to help that one see it? And when you see that, you see that they're wrapped up in that one trying to help that particular one. They're not even thinking self, but they're just thinking of how they can minister to that one and help them see the beauties that God has helped them to see. So then, if they labor and labor, they always all want to wait too. Just like those that labored with the little boy to wait till the Lord says, it's enough. Now you take the step. You take the step now and let the Lord do that. Then I thought of where he was instructed to pull up on his two feet. Not until we do something about the truth ourselves and take a stand for the truth and make the truth our own, it won't mean back to us. If we're just like a Paul parrot, we just repeat things just because we've heard others say it, but it don't become a part of us, and we don't appreciate our relationship to our dear Lord and to our Heavenly Father and to one another, it wouldn't mean that to us. And that's why we do need the fellowship of those of like precious faith. And we want to be with those that God has called them his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Another thing that they did, that this little fellow, which I forgot to mention, they move his head one side to the other, work around like that, to where he could get action upon his neck. And that, when he stood up on his feet, if they hadn't got him to that, he would have had his right balance. He'd had a stiff neck. But this helped him to balance himself. And I never shall forget that picture as long as I live. Because when the psychiatrist says to little Phil, you want to walk? You want to walk? Oh, he says, yes, yes, yes. And big tears in his eyes. Then so I see him get out and start taking steps. Well, how do you think that those ones that worked with him for months and months felt when they see him take those steps? And that psychiatrist, he must have got a thrill from it. Because it was just an experiment. But yet it worked out. And so with those, as we mentioned before, that are laboring with others, trying to help them to get the picture, to help them, to teach them, rather, how to walk and how to follow in the Master's footsteps. When they see them taking those steps, oh, they're thrilled. They're thrilled. And I know that you never go to a immersion service to where you see one get up after they've been immersed, and you can see them in their comments that they know what it's all about, how thrilled you are when you see that and see them taking their first steps. And we'd like to oh boy, I want to read this scripture over here in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And beginning with the first verse down to the 18th. Now think of these co-workers and those that's working. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonment, in in tumult and labor, in watching and fasting. And by pureness of knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned. By the Word of God, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. By honor and dishonor, by evil report, good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying in the whole, we live as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Aren't those beautiful words? And only the child of God can appreciate that. We know how rich we are. We know of the promises of God and how He desires each one that is called and has made provisions whereby they can attain. Oh, we know that we go to the heavenly throne of grace, and we should very often. Not only when we're in trouble, in distress, but when things are going along smoothly for us, we know that our Heavenly Father is working out things for our good then, and for our encouragement then, just as the others are for our development also. Because all ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you all. Our heart is enlarged. You're not straight in us, but you're straight in your own bowels. Now for recompense of the same I speak unto my children, be ye also enlarged. And we can see that when one is growing in grace and knowledge, and you see it reaching out and see them becoming sympathetic toward their fellow man, and when they see a brother or sister that's having a trial and sort of saying, well, I don't see how she could know the truth and do those things. I don't see how brother so-and-so can manifest the spirit he does if he's one of the Lord's. It's so easy for us to judge. So easy. And yet, we can't see the heart condition. We don't know the effort they're putting forth to be pleasing to the Lord. And so, when you see that heart enlarged towards others, that they're sympathetic and understanding, and that if one might be overtaken to fall, that they feel free to come and talk with you, not thinking that you would condemn them, but you would try to encourage and try to comfort and lead them. I often think of a brother I used to go to that when I was first telling the truth, and I made some awful messes at times there because I was one that when I was a youngster, I was thinking of prize fighting. And after I symbolized my consecration, I had 3 fights in 1 week. I felt terrible. And when I talk about this, so I say, now what would you have done? Well, I've probably done the same thing you did, but I know the right thing to do. Then he'd go on and he'd start talking about the truth. He'd talk about planning God. He wouldn't start to condemn me and say, now you should have done that. You should have done that. No, that's wrong. But he said, well, maybe I'd have done a lot worse. But I know the right thing to do. And then he'd go on into the scriptures and start talking about the scriptures. And you know, dear friends, there's a lot of value in that. When you really love one and you're ready to lay down your life for your brethren, and we're ready to do that even for the poor groaning creation of life, our Lord. And that's what we're called to do. That's the reason God justifies us, because there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus, that we might be an acceptable offering to the Lord. No wonder we're admonished to guard our hearts with all diligence out of it for the issues of life. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God? As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate with the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So, when we think of the
because of
Almighty Father, Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, calling you to one side, saying, "Now, son, here, give me your heart, and you let your eyes observe my ways." We know that He's going to make His word very clear to you. And this is exactly what He's done. And the only purpose that He did that is because you recognize your need of help and a Redeemer, and that He would have to give you this justification so it would be acceptable as a sacrifice. Now, just in closing, we want to read just the 1 to 4 verses in the 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians, the following chapter here. Now, he said, "Now, because of these things that he stated here, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God," or in the reverence of God. "Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in our tribulation." So it's a wonderful thing when you see that how Paul, the walking with those that had difficulties too, how he could sympathize and how he was in the condition of heart to comfort them. Not finding fault and pointing out all the things they were doing wrong, but when he could see them growing in grace and knowledge and see them, how they was thinking of him and trying to minister to him, he was thrilled, knowing that the Word of God was affecting them in their life. So it is with us. And we pray and trust that that when we think of aiding one to walk, that if we are granted that privilege, it won't be because of our ability to put it over to the one. It'll be because God has blessed that one, and because He has privileged you to break the bread of life to them. What could be any more wonderful? And if you thought of getting up and making your calling lesson sure, when you're on the other side of the veil, say, "I know, brother, you don't know what you meant to me when I was striving to make my calling lesson sure. Just the words that you spoke helped me a lot." And so those are the things that we know that the Lord will approve of. And that's the reason that He has asked us to come together as often as we can. And we know we're living in an evil day. So there's so many wonderful things to talk about to encourage one another without finding fault one with the other. And I know that it's so easy for us to wonder why some people do some terrible things at times. But don't judge them, dear friend, because you know what will happen? I think I told you this, your experience once before. I don't know. But one time, I had let slip and forgot to get something and the clothing and going up to Seattle Convention. But I didn't know that I had forgotten at this particular moment, but my mother-in-law was with us and she spoke up and says, "Oh, to my wife, Carol, I've left my coat back in that motel, or the hotel." Well, I didn't say anything then, but finally Carol says, "Oh, yes, and I left some hurt over there." And I said, "Oh, Carol, how could you do that? How could you do anything like that? You know that we're late now." And I was just all worked up thinking of how they could forget. And it was so important. We got there to Seattle because we just had just enough time to make it. So I got back there at the hotel. And I said, my brother Ed was driving. I said, "Turn around, Ed, and go back." I said, "We have to go back and get the clothes and so forth." So when we got back there, I said to my wife, Sister Farrell, Well, now, you sit here. I can get up there and get that stuff while you're just thinking about it. I run up there, and when I got up there, I found I had left a suit up there at the time. And so I could see how she could forget. And so I think of this in experiences that we sometimes will see a brother or sister doing something, and we say, how could they do it? How could they do that and be the Lord? Be careful. Because if we make our phone connection sure, the Lord's going to give us all the answers. And it'll be so we will be able to help and to encourage one another. And with the poor growing creation, we know if we're not sympathetic at all, we couldn't attain to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If we had that self-righteous feeling, we couldn't attain. We couldn't make our calling election sure. So those are the experiences that I think of, and so we do know that with the Lord's help, that there's not a one that has been called the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that makes use of all the provision God has made, they can attain. And we can be in like that one that's developed 100-fold or 60-fold or 30-fold in the fruitage, you know, the sower, the seed sower, the sower parable. There's not a one of us that cannot make 100% if using all the provision God has made for us. So may the Lord bless you and keep you and grant you a larger portion of His Spirit.
I wish from you it wouldn't be disappointed. We always get a blessing from Brother Fay, and we thank him for those thoughts. It's been a wonderful lesson for us. It's a real good heart-to-heart talk, and that's just what we need.
Our dear Father, as we close the heavens on the grave at this time, Father, we want to thank you for this privilege we've had of gathering with our brethren here in Ontario. We ask that God will continue to bless this class year and bless each heart that is bowed before thee at this time. And we pray, Father, not only for our group here, but we pray for that our brethren the world over, known and unknown by us, but known of thee. And we pray, Father, that thou will grant us the larger portion of thy Spirit and enable us to walk as we should walk. And Father, we do pray for thy kingdom to come, thy will be done on earth and in heaven. We ask and we thank in Jesus' name.